Hi, this is Jason Kidd. You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Bescarini, KOAL, 750 AM.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL, 107.3 FM and 750 AM, and we are talking NBA basketball. Tonight, game one of the NBA Finals. We had a conversation on that last segment with Tom Perkins of Hoop City News. He's joining us again. Tom, we went in depth talking about the defensive matchups. I'm really interested in this series, but I think even another nuance that we have to pay attention to, we know KD's not going to play tonight, but it appears that at some point he may in fact play. And I go back to our conversation last week, and you said you felt like Golden State was preparing to play in the NBA Finals without KD, and I think you hit that right on the head. How much would his return affect the chemistry on this team, or would it at all?
Yeah, I think it would affect the chemistry because they're now playing, like I said, with the smooth cuts and the great passing and the movement, and so I think it would affect. However, when you can have a player as quality as KD in there, you don't mind making a few adjustments, and that adjustment is just simply allowing him to play some iso ball while that movement kind of stops. Because if you allow him to play iso ball, that's something else they have to consider, the opposing team, as far as defense is concerned. And so it puts another thing in their mind. Well, God, now we got to deal with KD. And you know, he's going to pull up that 25-footer and just drain it all night long. Well, so they somehow have to blend both styles. And it is two different styles for sure.
When you scout the Golden State Warriors, especially without KD, and we can talk about the amount of minutes that Andrew Bogut gets. I know it's kind of a blast from the past. You got to go back, what, 4, 5, 6 years ago to when he was kind of a mainstay in the center for the Warriors. What's the biggest difference in this team with KD compared to without KD?
Well, the biggest difference is that movement, because remember when Bogut was there, and you know, when they won their first championship, that team again had that movement, a wonderful style of passing, making. I would see them make 6, 7, sometimes 8 passes for a score. Now there are very few teams do that. Somebody's going to get impatient and shoot. Yeah, it's a big difference between the Warriors of the past without KD and the Warriors with KD.
Do we downplay the absence of DeMarcus Cousins at all with this team?
Yeah, I would say for the most part, because he brings them on either another dimension, and even another dimension, which is of course an inside power bully game. But there's a drawback to that. He slows their offense down because he can't quite run with these present Warriors. He can't run with them. So if they want to have a different look for 5, 6, 8 minutes in a quarter, they can do that with having him in there. And, of course, he's available to play tonight. But I don't think they can go full bore ahead and say, okay, now Boogie's in the lineup, boom, we're going to do this. Because he can't stay with him. I mean, just the fact that he ran down the court and pulled a quad tells you something. Because those guys they're all race car drivers. The Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, and Draymond Green. I mean, Draymond Green gets the ball off the board, off the defensive board, and he's leading the break. So, yeah, I don't think that Boogie is going to have that much of an impact. But if they utilize him right, I think he could have somewhat of an impact because they could go to a power game when he's in there.
Yeah, and I had wondered, when KD went down, it was, oh no, this is not good. I mean, Houston could actually win this series if KD's not playing. When DeMarcus Cousins went down, it was like, meh, Cousins is done. May never see this guy in a Warrior uniform again, but they're going to be just fine. And I don't know if that was because they were fine in the regular season without DeMarcus Cousins. I mean, this was one of the top teams in the league, and then when they got him back, it was a luxury. It wasn't really a must. It was more of a luxury. And so I just feel, Tom, that in a sense, it doesn't pick up the attention, and rightfully so. KD's one of the greatest players in the world. But when you add DeMarcus Cousins out there, there is a different element.
Yes, there is. And again, he's such a powerful guy and a powerful force. And sometimes, and not all the time, everybody says to me, oh, well, you know, he can hit the three. Well, I wouldn't necessarily say 32-33% from the three is hitting it. You have to show me somewhere around 39-40 to be able to say he's hitting it. So sometimes he falls a little bit too much in love with the three. But as in regards to him showing a power game for the Warriors, yeah, he can do that to a certain amount of time.
Again, our guest right now, Tom Perkins, independent NBA scout, and also the founder of HoopCityNews.com. We'll talk more about that site in just a moment. Tom, I guess you can't have a conversation about the NBA today without bringing up the Los Angeles Lakers and the turmoil that just seems like it's never ending. Curious as to your reaction about the ESPN article that came out earlier this week, really documenting the dysfunction within the organization.
Yeah, well, you know, Baxter did a great job in writing that article, and he did his research. And the fact of the matter is this, too many cooks in the kitchen, you could say. I mean, that front office is a mess. I mean, when they hired Rob Pelinka for that position, when they hired him, I said, no, this is not a good hire from the standpoint. He is a numbers cruncher. He is a taxologist, you know, he takes care of all the money type things in regards to players and things of that nature, but he's really not a basketball guy. So I didn't think that was a good hire. And because of, you know, he's attached to Kobe Bryant, probably got him that gig. And poor Jeannie, who's a class individual and a very good business lady, she also does not understand basketball. And so she's trying to do things in a way of keeping it in the family and, old Lakers and Lakers rehashed and, you know, wanted to bring Kurt Rambis back into the fold. And even Kurt Rambis' wife is somehow in the decision-making. That's bizarre. I mean, that's just simply bizarre. So, yeah, there were wrong hires, and of course Magic himself made some distinctive mistakes. I've been told on several occasions, even before this mess happened, that everybody's giving Magic credit for getting LeBron. LeBron had his mindset set 2 months prior to coming to the Lakers, before Magic met with him at 12-1 or whatever it was. Now, LeBron wanted to give Magic credit for that, but he was going to come to the Lakers no matter what. So then he made some mistakes in regards to movement is concerned, you know, letting Randall go where they could have kept him, giving up Zubac. But he did do a couple of great things. He helped get rid of some big-time contracts. Mozgov, you know, was a big-time contract that they didn't need. So he did a couple of things right. But, he needed to have the power of total decision-making, and he really didn't have that. And so because he didn't have that, I think that's when he wanted to bow out. So, and then I would say something that this is probably the worst thing I could possibly say about Magic. He's a guy that was in a situation that he wants to be successful. He's always been successful in everything he did, Dodgers, whatever. But I think that he saw the writing on the board, the handwriting on the board, that this summer he might very well be shut out. I think he wanted to leave before it showed, he was shown as being shut out this summer. That's what I think he wanted to do. Let me get out now, so when they fail this summer, it won't be on me.
Do you believe that with Rob Pelinka being there and really no basketball mind running the show this offseason, that it's not a certainty, but there's a very good chance that the Lakers do strike out, be it free agency or maybe even in the Anthony Davis sweepstakes?
Yep, there's a chance they could possibly strike out, because you know, you have to have some basketball people making decisions. And, I mean, just the fact that they had, I think, a week opportunity, 1 week, 7 days, to nail down David Griffin, who is a great general manager. He proved it in Cleveland. And they had a week to get him, and they didn't budge. They didn't move.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they could have at least somehow kept things in somewhat of an order by hiring Tyronn Lue. They didn't do it. So there was a lot of omission, a lot of guilt by omission with the Lakers. So, you know, they've got to get out of this. We're keeping it in the family. I mean, Jeannie Buss has got to get out of that mindset.
Tom, before I let you go, I do want to move over and talk about the NBA draft because it's going to be here before we know it. And one story in particular that popped up, the idea that the New York Knicks may actually consider drafting Jarrett Culver number 3 over RJ Barrett. I know you're very high on Barrett. There's no question he's a top 3 player. Have you heard anything of this? And can you believe that a team like the Lakers sitting at 4 may actually have the opportunity to draft a 6'7", 210-pound shooting guard from Duke that can score the basketball? To me, it's almost unbelievable.
Yeah, well, I think you're right. I mean, Barrett has really shown himself well. Some of these guys went to the pre-draft camp, and I was at the pre-draft camp, and they showed very well. For example, Taco Fall, do you remember hearing his name?
Yep. Big 7, what is he, 7'5"? Is that what he is?
Yeah. You know, he is not a very polished player, but he's a pretty good athlete. He could be the greatest defender in the history of the game. I mean, he can block everything. And when he went through a bunch of skills, right, because it was like 30 different skills, high jump, you know, moving right to left, full court, half court, and he scored real high on all those things. But getting back to Barrett, Barrett is a solid player who, of course, played in a great system at Duke, and I think he could really do something. I mean, Darius Garland looks like to be number 4, but, you know, you can interchange any of the top 6 with the top 4, with the top 2, 3, 4. So, I mean, you got DeAndre Hunter and Jarrett Culver, but Barrett is going to be a solid player, and so whoever gets him is not going to make a mistake.
Tom Perkins, again, independent NBA scout and also the founder of HoopCityNews.com. Tom, I always enjoy the conversations. It's a pleasure to get you on the show. Before I let you go, please let the listeners know where they can find more of your work. And also, I know you're going to be attending a couple of games in the NBA Finals as well.
Yeah, you can get me at HoopCityNews.com. You got to put the news.com in there. And When you do that, then you'll come to my site, and then there's a bunch of windows that you could click on to go to different things, from salaries to stats and things of that nature. But we love to have more readers. We're read in 22 countries now, and I'm very proud of that. And just spreading the word of basketball over the world. I want to leave you with something in regards to the finals. You know, I wrote an article about this yesterday. As a matter of fact, it's on my website right now. Talking about role players / support players. You know, the role players / support players of Toronto have really stepped up. Okay, you know, you talk about Pascal Siakam. You're talking about Van Fleet. Van Fleet was 11 for 18 in the last two games from three. That's unheard of.
Yeah.
And of course, Kyle Lowry's not quite a role player, but somehow he looked a little bit role-ish in that series. And there's Danny Green and Marc Gasol. The one guy you can always certainly count on is Kawhi Leonard. Now, here's the way I look at those role players against Golden State's role players, Kevon Looney and Alphonso McKenzie. And Jordan Bell, those guys are, of course, role players that have also stepped up for the Warriors. But the rest of the players on the Warriors, aside from Stephen Curry, they're all not role players. Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, Iguodala, Andre Iguodala, they're all not role players. They're not support players. They're frontline players. So when you have that kind of matchup against their role players and the frontline players of the Warriors, it's a little bit too much to overcome. So I'm going to leave you with this military analogy. You know, let's just suppose the Raptors are a platoon. They're going to take a hill. And on that hill, there's a sniper. They will take that sniper out, okay? The Raptors will take that one sniper out. However, the problem they have with the Warriors have four snipers. That's what I'll leave you with. You like that analogy?
I like that analogy. I like it a lot. I love the conversations, Tom. Again, thank you so much. I know we'll do it again real soon.
My pleasure. Thank you so much, Jordan. Appreciate it.
Always great to get Tom Perkins on the show. However, we are out of time on this Thursday edition of Drive Time Sports. So enjoy Game 1 of the NBA Finals, and we will catch you tomorrow. For Travis Anderson, I'm Jordan Buscarini. Be safe. We are out.